This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at wheat for Thursday, March 23rd. Well, yesterday the wheat markets had another big push to the downside for 2 days in a row now. The markets had kind of a washout type of trade. But yesterday we saw the buying step up, led by Kansas City, and actually barely peaking higher for a moment before it kind of pulled back again. But we definitely closed well off the low in Kansas City in the top third of the trading range. Minneapolis and Chicago both are probably right at the bottom third of the trading range. But Chicago did take out that high from a couple weeks, the low from a couple weeks ago, and then yesterday closed just barely above that low. So that suggests to me that the market's probably done for a while. I think what we're seeing in Kansas City the last couple days, the spread against Chicago has just soared higher. We're approaching all-time highs with that spread. It's pretty impressive. When you look back over the last couple years, Kansas City was trading discount to Chicago for just months on end. And then we have just steadily worked our way higher here over these last, probably the last year or so. So that spread has done very well, obviously, and I think it will continue to be the leader. It's probably, you know, going to see some corrections, but we're just headed into the growing season in the central and southern plains, and we're not getting the relief that we need. It's been dry since last summer. The crop went into poor conditions. It's been, you know, poor all winter long, and now that we're actively growing, we're just not getting the rain. And for the next 2 weeks, there's really nothing in the forecast to suggest that it's going to get much relief at all. So you have that going in the southern plains. In the northern plains, it's been cold. There's just a ton of snow across the northern plains, and it's going to continue cold. The two-week outlook is much below normal temperature across the northern plains. So you're not going to see a rapid melt, which is good for flooding issues, but it's certainly not conducive to getting in the field and any kind of an early note. So when you look at North Dakota, South Dakota, at least the northern half of South Dakota, most of Minnesota, and that would stretch into northern Iowa, I mean, it's just blanketed in snow and cold. So I just don't see where you get an early start to the planting season in key parts of the Midwest for corn or soybeans. In corn in particular, you know, we're expecting to see a pretty decent bump in planted acres. We're going to get prospective planting report next Friday, the 31st, along with quarterly stocks. And that would likely show the intentions, but you know, if it stays cold and you're not getting the fields cleared off, then you're going to start to see a lot of acres move out of corn into something else. Soybeans would probably be the next crop that farmers would look at. But as you get into North Dakota, especially the western half of North Dakota, South Dakota, you're probably going to see more acres bump back over to wheat or sunflowers or canola, you know, just other crops. And, you know, corn is a long season crop, and the Northern Plains is not a long season region in the first place. So I think there's a pretty good likelihood you're going to lose a pretty big chunk of corn acres as we work our way through the spring here. And I think corn is recognizing that. The price action yesterday in corn was pretty flat, if not a couple cents higher, while wheat was down 20, soybeans down 20. Corn was just brushing it off and holding its own. So clearly you're seeing a stand being made here by the corn space. Basis levels across much of the country have held firm as well. Bull spreads are intact. We got a premium going in the spreads. All signs that this market is well supported and would likely argue that we're still in a longer term bull market. For wheat, I think from a seasonal perspective, it's really hard to be bearish after what we have seen here. You know, the market's had a good sell-off. We're right in front of the growing season, and the weather's just not cooperating at all. We don't have any weather premium built into Kansas City. It's trying. I think it's building in it against Chicago, but just outright premiums, there's very little there. And a war premium, there's nothing left of that either. So the wheat space, you know, what's going on in the southern plains, it's hard to argue that the U.S. wheat production and ending stocks would increase notably over last year, even with an increase of 3 million acres for winter wheat. We just have so much stress going on in the Southern Plains, which is why Kansas City is your leader to the upside. Minneapolis is a different story. You know, the more acres you lose to corn, you're probably going to see at least spring wheat participate somewhat in that. So there's still a good chance that you'll see decent spring wheat acres. Spring wheat's much more forgiving as far as getting when you get it planted. You can plant that pretty late and you'll still cut a crop across most of the Northern Plains. So I think that for wheat, I think we have found a low there too, just from the price action yesterday. For corn, I think we have found our bottom there. And if corn has bottomed, it offers support to the wheat space. You know, with the wheat selling off the way it has and corn, frankly, not. In fact, corn has kind of rallied. Wheat has become cheaper as a feed grain, not only here in the United States, but around the world. So I think that helps stabilize the wheat market as well. Soybeans, you know, if corn starts to move higher, that will be supportive for beans. You're getting to, you know, past the halfway point in the Brazilian soybean harvest. So we should start to see the basis pressure wane a little bit there and just cash FOB offers stabilize, if nothing else. Speaking of cash FOB offers in wheat, we see Russia offering at 275, which is well below where the 300-305 they were at just a few weeks ago. So they're coming down to meet Ukraine's bids or offers that they had given to Egypt, and Egypt bought a pretty good chunk of wheat for them that last week. Russia didn't like that. So the question was, is Ukraine going to take advantage of higher Russian offers and ratchet their prices up? Apparently not, and Russia's coming down to meet that. So they're in line to capture more business. That's part of the pressure in wheat. We're just seeing world offers come down. But I think, again, headed into our growing season and the kind of outlook that we're facing, it's tough to be bearish wheat at these levels. We've seen a lot of liquidation here. A great deal of that is from the funds. As interest rates have gone up and if banks have kind of tripped on themselves, hedge funds are a little spooked here, and they're kind of moving to the sidelines. A lot of money is moving out of the high spec markets and pushing over to, you know, interest rate bearing markets, safe treasuries, decent returns on almost virtually 99.9% safe investments. So it makes sense that investors would start to move away from the high risk and diversify portfolios now that they finally have a respectable option to do that. In export sales this morning, wheat, pretty disappointing, 138,000 tons. That was even below the low end of the range of estimates from 200 to 750,000 tons. Unknown canceled 142, Mexico took 75, China bought 74,000 tons. In corn, a huge number that we were expecting, 3.1 million tons. That was within the range of 1.7 to 3.4 million tons. China, of course, as we knew, took 2.2 million tons. Japan took 683, Mexico 225. In soybean sales, 351,000 tons. That was below the low end of the range of estimates from 400 to 1.1 million. So clearly we're seeing Brazil step up here and be the leader as far as exports for soybeans, which is normal this time of year. So year-to-date export sales for wheat stand at 17.9 million tons. That's down 1.2 million from last year. It's a drop of 6%. We're at 85% sold of USDA's projections. Normally by this time of year, we're 99% sold. So we are running behind not only last year, but the pace needed to meet USDA's projections. In corn, 34.9 million tons sold so far this marketing year. That's down 18 million from last year. It's a drop of 34%, which is faring much better than we were a couple months ago. We were down about 50% for the first half of the marketing year. Now we're really picking up here, and obviously that's just because Brazil has kind of moved to the sidelines. We are 74% sold of USDA's projections. Normally we're around 85%. In soybeans, 49.5 million tons sold so far. It's down 4.5 million from last year to drop of 8%. Now there, soybeans had been running ahead of the year before all the way up till about a month ago. And so it clearly shows where we're just really struggling here to get much traction at all now in soybean sales. We're 90% sold of USDA's projections. Normally we're 91% sold. So we're still on pace to meet the target, but we're falling behind last year's pace after having a very active start to the season. So I think moving forward, I do think that we're carving out some seasonal lows in wheat. I think corn has carved out its low and kind of confirming it with the price action these last few days. Soybeans should find their low here pretty soon. Harvest pressure from Brazil should start to wane. And I think that if corn has indeed found its low and starts to work its way higher, it's going to pull wheat and soybeans higher along with it. We're looking at probably some acreage battle going on as we get into the planting season in the Midwest, but weather's going to have a lot to do with that. And again, the northern tier of the Midwest and the northern plains is just, it's blanketed in snow and it's cold. And below normal, in fact, much below normal temperatures are on tap for the next 2 weeks. So it's not like we're going to bounce out of this very quickly. And I think that's just supportive for corn and it's supportive for wheat. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.